Hey, listen, it's a Chalene show. It's Friday. You're in our car.
What's up, party people? This is Brett, just in case.
And that's my husband, P.S. And we are in
You know who I am.
Not necessarily. It could be someone listening for the very first time.
Well, then they should listen to a couple more episodes.
Now you know who he is, and he's very sarcastic, and I'm not responsible for anything that he says. And I have to coach him up, but we're doing Car Smart Friday. It's Friday, you're in the car, and we're going to talk about family drama. Apparently, we're having a little bit of our own.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
So I said, I'd love to do, because, you know, it's Mother's Day, but it doesn't even matter whether it's Mother's Day or Thanksgiving or whenever. When there's family drama, it's never easy, and it feels like almost everyone has some kind of family drama.
Yeah, well, there's two solutions to family drama. You either call that person up and have a discussion about what's going on and fix it and resolve it and move on, or you choose just to like avoid it and not talk about it and just not be around those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably what most people do is do the latter. They just bury it and then, you know, let resentment keep piling up and not meet it head on.
Mm.
But, you know, there's all kinds of family drama because, you know, there's something that just happened that's kind of minor. Maybe you said something about one of your nephews or nieces or, you know, a family member that probably not the right thing to say.
Okay.
And that can be resolved with just like, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I overstepped my boundary. Or a mother-in-law, like, critiquing, like, how you're raising your kids. Those are all little things that could, that happen probably a lot, that could just be nipped in the bud, just really quickly.
How?
By just having a conversation with the person, you know, as soon as you see it, right? I'm doing the mother-in-law. Daughter-in-law.
Okay, so who sees it? The daughter-in-law sees it?
The daughter-in-law sees it because the mother-in-law is obviously, she'll just keep doing it.
Right.
And if that's something that bothers you as the daughter-in-law, you have to say something. You have to say, you know, that's not the way we're raising the child, or I don't agree with that, and, you know, or you could just say, hey, you've already had your chance to raise kids, I'm raising mine, so don't worry about
it. Oh my God. You cannot say that. Don't say that.
I know you can't say that, but that's what you're thinking.
Sure.
And you just articulate it better by just saying, I really appreciate your feedback. If you have something to say, you know, maybe you could just say it to me privately and not say it out loud, because that's when it gets bad.
Yeah.
You know, like when everybody's like sitting around, like watching what's going on, and, you know, Johnny's doing something crazy. And
why is it always Johnny? Why are you always picking on Johnny?
It's always Johnny.
Yeah. So, in fact, when I said family drama, I wasn't even thinking about the mother-in-law, daughter in-law situation, but that's a pretty common one. And it's really tough when you have little kids, because I have the world's greatest mother-in-law. Your mom is like bar none, put a crown on top of her head, perfection. And I loved her as a grandma. I mean, when the kids were little. However, when they were little, I'm sure you remember this, I would be so upset when I would go over to, you know, drop Brock off for a couple of hours while I was doing personal training, and I would come back and I had a set routine for Brock, and there were certain things I wanted him to eat, and I would come back and I'd be so upset with your mom. I'm like, she's just like spoiling him, and she let him sleep on her chest the entire 2-hour nap, and she wouldn't move, and I came in and she was like sweating and her neck hurt, and I was like, why didn't you just lay him down? And she's like, oh, he was so comfortable. And I was like annoyed and frustrated. And then, you know, when we were trying to get him to eat healthy things, and we'd come back and your mom's like, he just wanted donuts. You know, and when you're in it, all you want to do is make sure you're not making any mistakes with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to control every moment. And I think there's also like this weird kind of jealousy with grandparents and the parents. And by jealousy, I mean you're envious of the fact that they get to
not
be fun and games.
Yeah, they get to be fun and games. We called my parents the house of yes.
Yeah.
And it's true. Grandparents, and they'll admittedly tell you, grandparents' role is to spoil their grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to be the fun part of the parenting. Like, they get to do all the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to be the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I think you're right. I think there's a little bit of jealousy that goes on there.
Or maybe envy is the right word.
Yeah,
maybe. Know.
Yeah, probably not jealous. That's probably the wrong word.
Frustration is what I felt. I was never jealous of your mom or my parents, but I was frustrated with them sometimes. And another situation is my dad. Do you remember the situation with my dad?
No.
You don't?
I'm not mind reading right now, so I don't know. Your dad's told a lot of stories before and a lot of...
So remember how we...
Just give me a little...
One time we came and he was watching Brock and Sierra and Maddie. Maddie was Sierra's best friend and they were like 5 years old. And we pulled back up to the house and my dad goes, check this out. And he's like, hit it, girls. And he had taught the girls in a parked vehicle how to climb out of the window of the truck. Do you remember this?
No, because your dad did this all the time.
Oh, so you don't even remember this story?
I don't remember this story.
Okay, let me tell you this story
vividly.
I might not have even told you.
You probably didn't because your dad did this on the daily.
Yeah. So he goes, hit it, girls. And they, like, he rolled down the window on the car and they climbed out through the window over the top of the truck.
You never told me this.
And then in through the opposite window. And I'm like, Dad, why would you teach them that? He's like, it's awesome. Check them out. Watch how fast they can do this. I'm like, no, it's not awesome. They're 5 or 6 or whatever they were. And they don't know that the car is parked. Like, Dad, this is such a bad thing. And then he was all bent out of shape. He's like, why do I have to be? I don't appreciate being known as the dangerous grandpa. I'm like, well, then stop doing dangerous things with them.
He said that later on. He said that later on, though, didn't he? He used to always say that.
Yeah.
Because, like, we would show up, and they would always be doing something. Like, we would show up at your dad's thing, and we're like, you know, the kids are 7, 8, Brock's 10 or 11. What are they doing? Oh, they're back shooting guns. They're back there shooting bow and arrows.
They're on the quads.
They're on the quads.
Oh, your dad built, this is my mom. She's like, oh, your dad built a swing. He built a zip line.
Zip line.
He built a zip line in the woods in Michigan that was, like, 40 feet off the ground. And I'm like, okay, this is so homemade and janky. And that's great that you've got a motorcycle helmet on my kid. He could still fall 40 feet. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was one of those things that was like cautious craziness. So like he would put a helmet on, but they still would be up 100 feet in the air or something like that.
Yeah. So anyways, we did have uncomfortable moments. I also remember my parents were exceptional parents and they're a little bit judgy about other people's parenting. They, you know, expect that we were super well-behaved kids and there was no corporal punishment. There's no spankings. There was no yelling. My parents never yelled and they never spanked us. But it was like, here's what you need to do. And there's no back-talking. And that's what they expected to see in our kids when we raised them. And there were a few times when, you know, I think my dad especially was critical of our parenting or my parenting, and I would just go toe-to-toe with them and say, well, you're wrong, and you show me a better behaved children, and I think you've, you know, whatever. But there were just moments. So yeah, you're right, we did address it. And with your mom, it was a matter of me just coming to a place where I had perspective. And I think, I don't remember who it was I talked to about this. I think it may have been Kathy.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it may have been Kathy, who was like, literally, she was like, Shalene, get over it. Do you know how much I would love to have my mom be alive to be a grandma? You really think the 2 hours that Brock is over at grandparents' house has any freaking bearing on his nutrition or his sleep? Like, get over it. You know, you are just so lucky and you just need to count your blessings. And I was like, that's good perspective.
Yeah. Kathy is a mom and great friend, and she is kind of one of our parenting mentors.
Yeah. So shout out to Kathy Valentine.
And Carlton.
And Carlton Valentine, yes, does take a mom and a dad. And they were on the same page when it came to that kind of thing. And we learned a lot from them as parents. Okay, so that's the parent thing. So, but let's talk about for just a moment. I'm going to give my perspective on family drama. I think if you, so for example, if there's nieces and nephews involved and you want to be a part of their lives, I think that's really important. You are never going to change a family member. Never, never, never. They're never going to see you as, they're never going to see your side of the story. They're never going to come around. They're never going to apologize. Just set your expectations realistically and understand that you're not going to change them. They're not going to suddenly realize that you were right and they were wrong. It ain't going to happen. So figure out how to get along for the betterment of the children, or maybe it's for your parents. Like maybe you just have a riff with your brother or sister. Well, nothing is sadder or more devastating to a parent than siblings who don't get along. And if you can't do that, then you can't do it. But the last thing in the world you should ever possibly expect to do is to expect them to change or to come around. So the only way to make it more tolerable is to be the bigger person. And I have always said that, haven't I?
You've always said that. And that you said something tonight, it's just ironic because we didn't have this topic in mind, but you said something tonight at dinner is that you were talking about somebody just lowering their expectations.
Oh, yeah. You said, does your friend, and we won't name the friend, but you said, does your friend so-and-so talk to her mom? And I said, yeah, pretty regularly, but she is never disappointed. And you go, never disappointed? Her mom is a piece of trash. What do you mean? And what did I explain?
She said that she's just has no expectations of her being any different.
Yeah.
So that when she does stuff to this day that stills like, why would you ever do that to your daughter? Or why would you ever say that? And the expectations are so low, it doesn't faze. And I thought,
She's not disappointed by it because she doesn't have high expectations.
Yeah. I think that's brilliant. I think it's a great tip that, like Shalene was saying, if it's a family member, I mean, what is it? You can't change your family, you can change your friends or whatever that, whatever that saying is about family members. And they're not going to change.
Mm-mm.
And they're going to be the same, but they're your family, so you have to deal with it. So for those particular family members, just lower your expectations and then you'll actually have a nice time around them the next time, because you're just like, if they say something, you're just like, it won't even faze you because you've already lowered your expectations and you're already anticipating it happening. So who cares?
That's great advice. And we kind of make a joke of it, right? Like, so there are things that when we were married, my used to drive you crazy about your in-laws, or drive me crazy. Like, it used to drive me freaking nuts. Your parents would show up. We'd say, okay, dinner's at 5, and they'd show up at 4, you know, and they used to drive me nuts. And then we just would make jokes about it. We'd say, like, okay, well, we've told them dinner's at 5, so let's just plan on them being here at 4. Or, you know, if we really want them here at 5, then let's tell them that dinner's at 6.
Yeah.
And things with my parents, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, just, okay, listen, honey. You know, there's no need for you to get upset about it. My mom is not going to change. When you are cooking, she is going to be under your armpit, because she's like 4'11". She's going to be under your armpit.
And asking every ingredient.
And asking, okay, what is this and how much is that? And he used to drive Brett crazy because when he's cooking, he doesn't want anyone in the kitchen. And I'm like, she's not going to change. So, you know, lift your elbow up. Here she comes.
That's true. And the other thing, too, that is similar to that, and we just had to get used to it because they're not going to change because they weren't around you, is that, like, showing up, like, on time, it's the same thing. With like,
oh, my parents, you mean?
Yeah. You know, like, for the kids' games and stuff like that. And that actually used to make you more upset than me.
Right.
Because that was more like, okay, you didn't show up for me, but these are your grandkids, so, like, show up. You've flown all the way out here from California. Like, be there on time.
Yeah, they would fly out to California, and they'd be like, we're here to watch Brock's basketball game, and then they'd walk in the last 10 minutes. But I'm like, you know, you guys have heard me do episodes about how my parents are late for everything. But eventually, it never bothered Brett, because he's like, you know, these are your parents. They've been like this, you know, your entire life. They're not going to change. We can't hold it against them. It's just who they are. And the same is true of all of my in-laws. We make it fun. We make it, you know, it's like you can't change it. So you might as well make a joke about it and sit back and enjoy the ride and relax. There's nothing that's a greater waste of time than trying to change family. Now, if it's so intolerable that it's disrespectful to your spouse. So if Brett's mom was disrespectful to me, the right thing to do is then you always, in my opinion, if you want my opinion, you're listening to my show, you side with your closest immediate family, meaning if my mom and dad were in some way unhealthy or, you know, placing demands on me that I felt compromised my time with my own kids and my husband. No, my kids and my husband come first, and then family extended beyond that is second. In my opinion, that is second. My parents come after my husband and my kids. As much as I love them, that's the pecking order.
Yeah, I agree. And we kind of both agreed with that.
But there's a lot of people who they put their... You're disrespecting your spouse. That's not good.
That's because they haven't worked out their that they have in their head with their
parents. Yeah, they're afraid to disappoint them.
Yeah.
That means that you're still a mama's boy or a...
You need to go to therapy.
Daddy's girl.
Do almost every single one of Friday Car Smarts go to therapy?
Every episode I do, it's like, go to therapy, people. Go. I mean, come on already. Go to therapy. Fix your stuff.
Yeah, fix your stuff. But it's true. You're not going to be able to fix the loved family. Ones, your family mm-hmm. members. And you just got to deal with it.
Just deal.
And at this point, it's actually more fun because we just laugh about it.
We do laugh about it. And also be respectful. Like, oh, here's another situation. Like my brother, mm-hmm. Bill, and my sister-in-law. You need to respect the way people are raising their family, their children. And it's not funny if you don't respect it. You know, it's just not funny. It's not cute. And I had to realize that because I love... How much do I love spoiling my nieces and nephews?
Love.
I mean, I can't tell you how much joy I get when my brother, when his girls were like, you know, 3 and 5, I sent them like industrial-sized giant box of gumballs and a giant-sized gumball machine and 25 outfits. And my brother and my sister-in-law were like, we're trying to teach them that they don't need all these things. I'm like, well, come on. Who else do I have to buy for? Please let me buy these clothes for them, please. And they're like, no, really, we're going to store these presents away. It's just, it's overwhelming to them. And I was like, oh, that's not fun. And I think I did it even the next year. And
I think you did it upscaled even the next year just because you wanted to like...
No, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. But I did do it the next year. And then I remembered... Actually, then it kind of dawned on me, like, oh, they were serious.
Mm.
Like, I wasn't sure if they were, like, kind of joking with me. I'm like, oh.
That's because really, your brother.
I think my dad and mom told me that, no, that they're serious.
No, your dad and mom had to say it. Because I remember when Billy called to talk about it, he was still kind of, like, laughing about it.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of his thing. He kind of, like, laughs about things even when he's serious.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, he was kind of like, did you send a bunch of presents here by accident that were meant for, like, Rob and Dana's kids? That's Brett's brother and sister-in-law. And I'm like, no, those are all for the kids. And he's like, okay, well, that's just out of control. So then, you know, my dad said the same thing. He's like, you know, it's just, you know, spoiling them is nice, but it's just too much. And I was like, oh, I get it. He's like, they're really trying to teach them, like, you know, one gift is a nice gesture. I'm like, one gift. All right, fine. No. And then this year I was very respectful of that because it was just like, okay, yeah, that's really disrespectful. If that's how he's trying to raise them, that was disrespectful to me. But don't expect your in-laws or your brothers and sisters to be as woke, as they say, as I now am. You know, and I recently got a text message from a friend of mine who's like, what am I going to do? My mother-in-law, not just my mother-in-law, but my husband and all the family members, they just don't understand the whole food situation. They just want to shove this horrible, horrible food down my child's throat and they let her eat whatever she wants. And I want my child to be healthy and I just don't want them eating McDonald's. And I don't want them eating this. And you know what I said to her about the food thing? Be careful, because if you start policing food and labeling some food is good and some food is bad, I know you're trying to do your best, but you're going to give that kid issues around food. We let our kids decide whatever they, and you know what, they made healthy choices, but we always said, you guys can eat that. Sure, no, that might make you feel tired and it's might make you feel...
Not going to give you big muscles.
Yeah, well, that's what we'd always say. You want big muscles. You want to have a strong body. You want to eat this. Now, yeah, you can eat that. We always let them choose. But our kids didn't binge, they didn't have food issues, and they don't have food issues, and they eat healthier than we do, but we never told them they had to, and we never made food good or bad. So ease up on that. I think it's important you and your spouse get on the same page, but when it comes to relatives, aunts and uncles, grandparents, they're going to spoil them. Just count your blessings that those people are alive. Don't put your child in harm's way if you think something bad is happening. If you think someone's really dangerous, or that there's inappropriate behaviors, that's just a no-brainer. Do you have anything to say about that?
That's a no-brainer. I mean, literally, if you have suspicions or, you don't think there's a family member that your children should be around, then don't bring them
around.
Would
we ever let a male cousin or a male uncle by themselves watch our kids?
A male cousin? No. A male uncle watch our kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By themselves?
Well, I mean, both of our
brothers,
both had wives, and it wasn't like it was a bachelor pad.
Right.
Like if they weren't married and they just a bachelor pad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's different. I mean, but I just think if you have any sneaking suspicions,
Never had it. You're asking a question, and we have no suspicions of either Rob and Billy. We're saying if you have a gut feeling.
Yes.
We're not saying if, oh my gosh, my brother is the best person ever and he's the best person around kids.
Only reason why I brought that up is because recently I got a message from someone who listens to my podcast, and I hope she's listening because I have to say this. She was like, I just found out that my daughter has been sexually abused by my sister's son. And I said, how old's your sister's son? And she said, I think he was 18 or something. And she said, I feel so disgusted because I knew that he had had problems molesting other kids, but then he got help and we trusted him to babysit. I'm like, you trusted him to babysit?
No. Never ever, I don't care who they are, you never leave your children with a male babysitter. Ooh. That's whatever age it is, no matter what. That's number one rule.
I don't care. That was ours.
Number one rule.
But females abuse children too, and you know that.
Yes.
But the likelihood that it's going to be a male is much higher.
If you need to have a babysitter, and it's not one of you, grandma and grandpa live close, and you're going out on a date night or whatever, and you're going to have a babysitter, your chances of having a safe environment for your children are with a girl babysitter.
How about all these women who have younger children and then they end up meeting this great guy who's just so excited about this ready-made family, and then he ends up...
Nope.
Yeah. We didn't mean to talk about this, but it's all the things. It's all the things. Don't put your children in harm's way. Put your own immediate family first. Step up and make sure that your husband or your wife is being respectful. And here's one last thing I want to say. Just low-key it. If there is something going, if there is tension or drama, don't make things a big deal. Keep the peace. Apologize even when you don't think you've done anything wrong, and mean it. Life is too short to have these rifts and keep people apart. No one's going to change. Make peace. Deal with people. Maybe set lower expectations.
Can I give a tip about how to select a babysitter?
Oh, boy. We're back on this topic. Yes.
If you're in an area, right? Mm-hmm. We're experts at babysitters.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's some experts.
We think we were. Never know.
Yeah, you never know. But we ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Right? So here's a good tip for babysitting. So if you're struggling getting a babysitter, because we do hear that a lot, it's you go down to your local high school.
Uh-huh.
You ask for the phone number of the cheerleading coordinator, the person that is the coordinate, is in charge of all the high school cheerleaders there, right?
Yeah.
Then you get that person's phone number, and you just very politely say, who on your varsity team, because you want somebody that can drive, right? Who on your varsity team would be a really good babysitter or does babysitting a lot? They're going to give you two or three names right off the bat. Now you have an adult that has already vented one of the cheerleaders and said, this one would be a really good babysitter, or she does a lot of babysitting. Boom, you got yourself a babysitter.
Maybe you don't have to drive down to the local high school.
No, you call.
even, honey, that's ridiculous. No one is going to call a local high school and say, like, hello, can I talk to the cheer squad?
Okay, then what's your advice?
If you just find someone who has a daughter, I don't know why we're saying cheerleaders are so great, but just find someone who has a daughter on a cheer squad, and you ask that girl, ask your cheer, what are they called, mates?
I don't know.
Ask your cheer squad.
My tip is unbelievably
good. But nobody goes to a high school and like, hi, can I talk to the cheer squad?
We had five. We were five for five.
You were the high school football coach. We're standing next to the cheer squad.
I still had to walk over there and ask her.
I know, but not the average person listening doesn't have access to the football field. Oh, my gosh. You know what? Next Friday, I think it's just going to be me and Car Smart. You know what? We'll let people vote.
They'll want me. They'll want me back.
I think so, huh?
Yep, for sure. They like my perspective.
They do.
Yeah, because that's a tip. I'm telling you right. That might not be for everybody.
Yeah.
But there's some people right there. That light bulb just went off. Oh, I know somebody over there. It doesn't have to be. Trust me. That light bulb just went off. Anybody's got the same tip that you have. Like, find somebody that's got a daughter.
It's a lot easier.
I know it's a lot easier.
It's not just cheer squad.
Sometimes easier isn't better.
Will you guys just settle this once and for all? Do you want Brett on Fridays or... do you want it to go back to me, or do you still want us to mix it up? Let us know. I'm happy to win this argument. You're going to have to tell us on Instagram. So send us a DM, and we'll screenshot him. He's Brett Johnson with one T. Brett Johnson 11, and I'm Shalene Johnson.
Why'd you put the phone back to me?
Because I thought you were going to say something. You took a deep breath like you had something else to say.
No, I'm very confident that they're going to want me back.
Lordy. All right. Well, I love you. I mean it.
Peace out.
Talk to you Monday. Bye.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.